Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Welcome, everybody. It is yet another fabulous Wellness Wednesday. And you know, like every day in Southern Utah, the weather's great. Everything's beautiful.
Good morning, Southern Utah, the number one state in the entire nation. Of course, I already knew that, but it's nice to get that accolade from who said that?
U.S. News and World Report. Yeah.
From U.S. News and World Report.
Yep, we won the competition. I didn't even know we were competing.
Everything's a competition.
That's right. So from our experiences, you know, in hospice and having conversations, we thought we'd bring some things to the program today. Our lives are filled with milestones, some of those minor, some major. And for many of those, we get to anticipate and prepare and celebrate.
You know, a wedding, the birth of a child, birthdays, Mother's Day, anniversaries. If we look forward to them and if we invest our time and effort for them, when they arrive, we love these events.
Right. They can be the basis for some great memories and meaningful times and the opportunity to strengthen relationships with those that we love.
They allow us to show and feel love, to put aside the burdens of the world for time and focus on the great things in life. And isn't that really what we're here for, to gather memories and to show love and support for those around us?
You know, and the better our attitude is in that, the more we're involved in it, the better the outcome, invariably. I used to coach a little bit, and I always liked having, you know, sayings that I could relate to and give the kids something to do. And so Dick Vermeil once said, if you don't invest very much, then defeat doesn't hurt very much, and winning is not very exciting. And that's, I hope that kind of gives us a start here. So, you know, I expect that we can all look back on some of those events that we've had in the past, some of those milestones, and we might have been a little disappointed with the outcome, in most part because we didn't really participate in the planning and organization of it the way we could have. And so, you know, it's our own fault in that.
I think sometimes I've looked back with a little bit of regret and wished that maybe I had participated more or expressed my feelings about how I wanted something to go. I know early on in our marriage, not that early on, a few years after we had kids, I expected one Mother's Day that my husband would just remember that it was Mother's Day early in the morning and that he'd really celebrate. We'd spent the whole week looking for the perfect Mother's Day present for his mom, but our kids were really young, and so it wasn't something that they really remembered. And Sunday morning arrived, and I remembered very well that it was Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until later in the morning, we happened to be sitting in church, and Mother's Day was brought up, and my husband turned around and looked at me and said, "Oh my gosh, happy Mother's Day." And the silly
she was not very happy.
The silly thing is I was so bothered by that. I mean, so bothered that it ruined my entire day. And then in looking backwards, I was talking to my mom about it, who was living up here, and I was in Las Vegas, and she said, "Kaylee, the other hand to that was you could have given him a little bit of insight and guidance. I mean, this is new for him, too, and you could have kind of told him what he wanted, what you wanted, and how you wanted to celebrate your day." And I thought, yeah, if I really wanted a day that was picture perfect as my mind had idolized it, I probably should have involved him in that and told him. And then I kind of felt bad that I was so angry at him.
I don't think you ever apologized to me about that.
No, so. But I'm not sure you apologized for forgetting.
Yeah, you know, and even in hard times, when we are willing to face whatever's ahead of us and be actively involved in managing it, when it does end, when we overcome that, we get a feeling of self-worth and success. And, you know, because of that hard work or that sacrifice or whatever it is we invested to overcome that, there are positive feelings about that that just stick with us, and that's kind of what we want to look at. You know, one of the biggest milestones in anybody's life is, of course, birth of a child, right? And even your own birth, the beginning of your own life. I don't know that there's anything that anybody could point to that is more meaningful, more worthwhile. It has such an effect on so many people, not only in the family, but in the world, because when you're born, you grew up and you accomplished things. You had impact, and that's important. Now, if you don't think you did, then you should be talking to people that you know and let them tell you how much impact you had, because we sometimes diminish our own worth.
Value or self-worth. Yeah.
And I think that's part of what happens, you know, that Mother's Day was my wife was a little stubborn and wanted to just know that I was going to take care of it entirely perfectly. And I wasn't that well versed at it. You know, it's not something that I had done real well throughout my life. And to expect somebody to be perfectly successful in something that they had no pre-planning for is unreasonable to expect. So instead of expecting somebody to just perform on demand, help them get started, help them work through those things and give them platform to work from.
I often remind my own children that you can't expect people to act or behave the way that you want them to or you envision that they should. If you don't give somebody some guidance and a little help along the way so that they can understand what your hopes and desires and outcomes are, they're going to be left with regret that they didn't give you exactly what you were looking for. And I think that's kind of the point of my story. Richard did have huge guilt. It wasn't his intent to not celebrate Mother's Day. He just didn't think about it the way that I did. So once he realized that importance to me, then that put a different perspective on it, which is kind of what we're talking about today. If you don't have these conversations up front, family members or yourself might be left with some regret and disappointment in outcomes.
Right. And on those birthdays, you know, we tend to, in the beginning of life, celebrate those every year and have those opportunities to reflect. But as we get older, maybe, you know, we're approaching a birthday that we don't really want to have coming. You know,
we stop celebrating.
We stop celebrating. When they approach, it's not the birthday we want to have. You know, when it ends in a zero, that's usually a big one. And those are milestones that may not be positive for some of us. But we have some choices in that. We can either choose to be negative on that. You know, we can have a sour attitude. We can, you know, if anybody brings it up, say, I don't want to talk about it.
Or just avoid it altogether.
Yeah, avoid it altogether. And you may very well be successful at nobody celebrating your life that year. But what did we really accomplish? I mean, there was no good that came from that. There was no good feelings or memories or anything else. So we should probably try and have a different attitude. I mean, imagine a wedding, right? These happen far rarer in life. And if you went into a wedding with the attitude of, I don't want to participate in it. I want to be married, but the whole wedding thing, I just don't want to be involved in. And so every time the topic comes up, you leave the room or you find things to busy yourself. You can't ever be involved in it. How good of that wedding is that going to be for you when it happens? Because it's going to happen.
That's kind of the point. Nobody ever does that. Nobody mm-hmm. ever completely avoids planning their wedding, right? I mean, often children, you know, young ladies spend their childhood envisioning their perfect wedding.
But if you went in with that, you know, that I don't really want to participate, what are you coming out with? What are the memories you're going to have? What are the, you know, the feelings, and not only for yourself, but everybody else involved? What is there anything positive that would come from that?
And no, there's not. Probably some disappointment and regret.
Yeah. And so we should probably try and avoid, you know, that type of thing where instead of avoiding what's coming up, let's look forward to it and be in control of it and manage it.
So what's a different celebration that we should probably start planning for and discussing even early on?
Well, another one of those milestones that is going to be absolutely part of our life, that's death. We are going to, as Shakespeare said, shuffle off this mortal coil.
Wasn't that a positive transition? Did you like that, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, at least he had Shakespeare. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason it's a hard conversation to have, right? And we toiled a little bit with, we've often just kind of brushed over the conversation. But this week specifically, we had two families that had very different outcomes when their loved one passed. And I really felt it was really important to have this very direct, specific conversation. And it's not something you have to wait to have a conversation you have to wait. you know, like a wedding, you might be sharing your dreams, your how you envision your perfect wedding for years. Perhaps it's time to start talking about your life and your celebration.
Yeah, that celebration of life. Now, you know, some people call it a funeral. Other people actually decide to have a celebration of life before the person passes, which I think is a great idea.
I do too.
But really, what we want to talk about is just that getting ourselves to choose to pull that out of the closet, I guess, you know, out of the dark corners of the closet, bring it out to the cleansing light of day, and be willing to have a conversation. It doesn't have to be at the last moment that we talk about what our plans should be and what we would like to see and how we imagine that event being, because it is going to be the only or the last celebration of life that you could participate in, your own life. That's going to be the one that you could have an impact in and you could have a hand in to turn it into something that is meaningful, not only for you, but to each of your family members, and take some of the burden away from them, but also help them know that they are doing a great thing when they are putting that together.
Consider, if you will, that there are things in life that we are never going to be able to control. So just to put the conversation out there, even if you don't think you're passing, and when it gets complicating, it's one thing to have the conversation at 40 when we're completely healthy, but when you're 70, 80, perhaps right after you've been diagnosed with something that is frightening, like cancer or heart disease or COPD, even though you know that you are coming toward the end of your life, avoiding it is not going to make it easier on your family. Nope. Having the conversation up front and planting those little seeds so that your loved ones and your family can come to terms with just mortality, all of us will have to face it one day. So whether you're 40 and you start having these conversations so that loved ones can document times and events so that at the point that they are planning your funeral and writing a eulogy and an obituary, it's a great opportunity, actually, to be praised while you are still here. And for those loved ones to have that opportunity to express the celebration of your life and how much you meant to them and how important you are. Eulogies should be done before we pass.
Yeah, so that you can get the important details and facts, that the things that are meaningful and memorable, are that's what's supposed to be shared. And so we really want to talk about that today and hopefully get some people to feel like, yeah, I guess I should or could have that conversation. And so that's kind of where we want to start. But we've started Pathway, not, you know, for no other purpose than we didn't want anybody else to have one of the experiences we had here in Southern Utah, a hospice experience. We didn't want anybody to ever have that type of experience again. And so we started this. And I know that there have been many people who have felt that hospice came in and accelerated that passing. And for that, I apologize that we only started this path 5 years ago. You know, we weren't here 5, 10, 15 years ago when those kind of things were happening, and we're trying to change that.
And I personally empathize with you because that was the struggle and the regret that I still deal with every day of my life with my father. As part of my healing process, it was to start this company and to offer different outcomes for families to help them navigate this very difficult time in their life. And it should be a longer period of time for your family. Sometimes you should choose hospice with an expanded palliative care program. Let me emphasize with an expanded palliative care program, because those are the ways that you never give up your choices and you just get support and help to navigate the system and the entire, you know, process. But it's better to choose it early rather than later. Sometimes if not for you, it's for your family. Your family needs the support. Your family needs the help. It will reduce stress for them on how to navigate a very difficult time, how to foresee things, how to watch for things, and how to come to terms with an impending process, right? It's that ability to go through grieving prior to somebody passing, to have that time to come to terms with it and to have the conversations before someone passes that leaves your loved ones without regret, remorse, and I wanted to tell you something before you left.
Yep.
It's an important time. So sometimes we need to stop thinking about ourselves and realizing that an expanded palliative program does not mean that you're giving up the fight. It does not mean that you're quitting. It just means that you're exploring all of your options and also allowing your family to navigate the journey with you and to come through the process with you, whatever that outcome is.
And certainly the idea of hospice can be a notice for the family to say, oh, this is serious.
And this is a disease that I have to take seriously.
And no amount of avoiding it is going to change the outcome, right? You can't deny it and expect it to not happen. And so it's always going to be better to do that. You know, even though we had no plans for ourselves or any cares, I will tell you that we've had so many opportunities to be blessed, to be involved with people and participate in their life experiences and get a reward from that. And so there are some things we've learned along the way. And probably the first thing is never was it better when no one was willing to participate in preparing to honor that life, right? For everybody to say, no, we're not going to do that right now. We're not going to do that right now. It never turns out good. And then everybody has regret about how it didn't turn out the way they would have liked.
So much more sorrow for those that remain here in this lifetime.
Right. And so why are we pushing ourselves through that? Is it because we're fearful of the word death? Again, I get that. That's not something anybody is looking for. Well, most people aren't looking forward to. But if you're not looking forward to it, that doesn't mean it's not part of reality. And so if we just take that bull by the horns, if we are willing to step up and have that conversation, and it doesn't have to be because we're dying today. It's because we will someday, and we might as well have this opportunity to prepare and celebrate and do right, honor. I'm going to use the word honor.
Honor, right.
Honor that life. We can either do a good job of honoring it, or we can do a poor job of honoring it, and we think a good job is better.
And we have witnessed firsthand where people wanted to deny that their illness was terminal because they, let's say, feared the impending death, and they thought that if I say that this is a terminal illness, then the terminal illness will overcome me. And that's really just not the reality. I kind of wish doctors had to go through some of the same training that we did when we were opening this. We were very passionate about providing an expanded palliative program that was much, much different. If doctors said to you, look, you have stage 4 cancer that has metastasized to your lymph nodes and your bloodstream and your this, your pancreas, your bile duct, whatever it is, and the statistics say that there is 2 to 3 months left, you know, in your life, let's go out and do the best we can to fight this. Let's prove those statistics wrong. It's not about giving up hope, but sometimes when you face what you're dealing with and deal in a very positive manner, it's not only easier on you and your body, but it's easier on your family. And that gets back to where sometimes even though you're the one dealing with the terminal illness, if your life does overcome you rapidly, don't you want to leave your family in a better position where maybe they have an opportunity to discuss with you their fears for you, their sorrow for letting go of you? It can be a very positive experience. We had one beautiful story where it was a grandson that, you know, felt very uncomfortable about talking about death with his grandma. And this was the first end-of-life experience he was going to face. And finally, one day, his grandma felt comfortable enough to talk to him about it. And she had no idea the outcome. But this little boy actually said to her, Grandma, are you afraid to die? And where do you think you're going to go after death? And they have this absolute beautiful story. We were actually fortunate enough to have helped the grandma prepare for this, and she had some hidden video cameras, and they have little memory sticks now of this conversation. But this little boy said, are you afraid to die? And the grandma said, you know what? I'm not, but I sure am going to miss you when I'm gone. Let's make a promise. Every time you miss Grandma, I want you to reach up, close your eyes, and give yourself the biggest hug you can, because I promise I'll be behind you, hugging you from behind, and our arms will meet there. What a beautiful way for this grandson to accept her impending death. But had she not been comfortable enough to say, hey, at one point, this might overcome me. This is an illness that often takes people. Let's celebrate my life and give my family, she was selfless enough to give her family an opportunity to grieve while she was here. And it ended up being an absolutely beautiful experience, and one that even the grandson doesn't feel like she's just eternally gone, but that she's eternally there, a part of his life, even though he can't see her.
So today we'd like to give you an action plan and start with some pretty simple stuff. You know, we know that for the family, it's sometimes difficult to write that eulogy or that obituary. Not because they don't love and care, but because they don't have all of the facts. You know,
details.
Yeah, just the details. You know, I know that what high schools my parents went to, but I don't remember the dates that they graduated. If that's an important part, or you know, the year that they were married. I mean, I could probably figure it out. But
or forgotten the name of the school.
Yeah, or forgotten anything. If you're willing to help your family to do the best job they possibly can, then today we'd like you to write your own eulogy, or if not, write it. At least put the bullet points of the things that are important for you. Because I know that my wife, we've had a number of stories in our family. And I think Kaylee wouldn't want some of those stories to be told in public.
Right. I might say, no, not that one.
They may be funny as all get out. But that doesn't mean that those are the ones you want to have part of that. And so to maybe lead people to, well, these are the things that were important to me. And these are the stories about, you know, when I was young and about the family. And these are the things that mattered.
And a different approach, if you are a child or you, the spouse of, you can write your eulogy for the spouse just in a way to pay tribute to them. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, as we stand here, you know, talking about this, I'm thinking I should really go home and write Richard's eulogy and just say to him, I want you to know how important you are to me. I know that the most important gifts to me as a mother, it's not the beautiful blouse or the dress or, you know, the flowers that my children brought. It's the little letters that they tucked under my pillow, or the card and the special story that they wrote in the card, and the time they took to pay tribute or share a memory or express an appreciation of me and what I have done for them. Those are the ones that have lasting, purposeful meanings to me. Those are the most important gifts I've ever received. So what if you wrote the eulogy for your mother today, and you said, I just want to say this to you? Not only would your mother then have the opportunity to say to you, well, this is the date and this is the name of the high school that mm-hmm. I went to, but she would have that blessing of hearing how much you love her and how important you are to her.
And that would get us into celebrating life on a regular basis. And I think you're right. It'd be an incredible gift for a grandchild to write a eulogy for the grandparent, or the grandparent to write a eulogy for, you know, the parents, just to say, these are the important memories that I have of you, and these are the things that are meaningful and touching in my life that you were part of. That would be a great thing. So, yes, if we can get people to first just give consideration to your own life and the things you'd like to hear, but also then maybe be willing to share that ability with those that you love and say, this is what I think are important things about your life.
And do it for your dad. Yeah. Do it for your grandpa. Do it for your husband. I think often we forget that they too have a big heart and a sentimental spirit about them. They'd love to hear it.
And that would get you started on that conversation about, hey, how do we make this the best opportunity? Because from our experience, there are many times when people don't have that that time to prepare. They don't get it all done. So our telephone number, 477-6999, local area code 435. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Have a wonderful week, everyone.